You found something?
Yes, my lord.
That's it. The rebels are there.
My lord, there are so many uncharted settlements.
That is the system. Set your course for the Hoth system.
As long as everybody behaves, this will be quick and painless.
Did you hear that? We're doomed.
Welcome to Echo Base, your weekly water cooler discussion exploring Star Wars news, issues, mythology, and understanding that galaxy far, far away.
We will use all our resources to unravel this mystery.
Dodging Imperial probe droids while leaving no topic unturned in this frozen wasteland.
You're going to find that many of the truths we cling to depend greatly on our own point of view.
Now live. Dock the snowspeeders and lock up the tauntauns. It's time for Echo Base.
It's not Tatooine, that's for sure.
All wings report in.
Red 10 standing by.
Red 7 standing by.
Red 3 standing by.
Red 6 standing by.
Red 9 standing by.
Red 11 standing by.
Red 5 standing by.
Red 2 standing by. Right now I feel like I take on the whole Empire myself.
Cut the channel, Red 2.
Stand by alert.
Target, maximum firepower.
Imperial troops have entered the base.
Close the doors.
Yes, sir.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Echo Base. This is episode 58. I'm Eric. I'm joined tonight by Lou. Lou, how's it going?
It's going well.
All right. And Chris? Chris, how you doing tonight?
Fantastic.
Fantastic. All right. So, happy May the 4th. May the 4th be with you.
That's right. It's coming up.
Yes. It'll
Our
this
very
episode
own holiday
is going to be released on May the 4th.
Oh, nice.
Just happens to work out that way. Yeah.
So. But you know, works out really well because right after May the 4th, we get Cinco de Mayo.
Yes. So,
you know, two holidays back to back.
Yes. Which in some countries of Latin American origin or Spanish origin, I guess that's the 5th of May.
Yeah, yeah, and basically
the rest of us miss out.
One of those holidays is known for drinking, and one of them is, on the 5th of May.
Yeah, there you go. So you guys have anything particularly interesting planned for May the 5th? It kind of falls in the middle of the week, so it's a little tough, you know.
Yeah, I mean, last year I did the Red Sox Star Wars game on May the 4th, they kind of had that worked out. This year, not so lucky. We're doing it on May the 9th.
Hmm.
So May the 9th be with you doesn't quite sound as good, but we're still going.
Well, that's good.
And there'll still be costume characters there, I suspect, and they'll have the giveaway like they did last year. Hopefully a cool exclusive T-shirt again, so it'll be
cool.
Nice.
Cool. Chris, what about you? Anything interesting?
Unfortunately, no.
Is this your last week of school?
Technically I'm already done.
Oh, okay. All right.
But
well,
I
that's
do
gotta
have
be a
off work tomorrow. So
no. Yeah.
I might sneak in.
Nice.
Because I started The Force Awakens, but I didn't finish it. So yeah, I might do that.
Well, I don't want to spoil the ending for you then.
Anakin dies.
If you didn't finish it, I'm not going to tell you anything. So
I unfortunately I have to work and I have to work an evening shift. So I can't go out and do anything, but I have something I have been saving for the last few days, which actually I guess is kind of our first news item. And that is that I'm going to watch TFA, The Force Awakens, with the Riff Trax commentary. Are you guys familiar with Riff Trax?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay. For those of you who aren't, they're part of the team that used to do Mystery Science Theater 3000, who used to talk along with the movies and kind of make fun of them and riff on them. So Riff Trax at rifftrax.com. It's RIFFTRAX. They do the same thing, but they actually do it with licensed movies, which Mystery Science Theater 3000 could not do because they couldn't get the rights to them. And the way that Riff Trax gets around that is they just record an MP3 file. So you play the MP3 file while you're watching the movie yourself, like you have it on DVD or through iTunes or something. So that way they don't have to provide the movie itself, so they get around the licensing that way.
Mm.
Yeah, they do have some downloadable things. For example, they have the Star Wars Holiday Special, which, wow, if anything was made for riffing, it's that.
I was gonna say it doesn't even need a riff track, does it?
Oh, wow, that was so bad. Anyway, where was I? Yes, so Riff Trax has now released The Force Awakens just this past week, and I highly recommend people go check it out. Also, they have a smartphone app that is kind of in beta testing right now. It's free. It's available for iOS and for Android. And the reason I point that out is because when it comes out of beta, you're going to be able to synchronize your Riff Trax library through the website, anything you've purchased in the past, with this app. And this app, using your phone's microphone, will listen to the movie and it will automatically synchronize itself with where you are in the film. And the reason I bring it up on Echo Base, being a Star Wars podcast, is until they get the functionality where it synchronizes with your library, the beta, which again is available right now for free, includes episodes 1 through 6 for free. Normally you'd have to pay, I think it's $4 for each of those. So episodes 1 through 6 for free, for your phone, in an app that automatically syncs it with your DVD. So there you go. Good way to try out now, the service.
Now, when you get that on your phone, the 6 of them that are there for free, mm-hmm. do you download those or are they just there?
No, you open up the app and you scroll through to whichever of the movies you want. You hit the button to download it and then you hit the button to play. You can download all 6 of them simultaneously and they reside on your phone, or you can just pick the individual movies you want.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, so it's a great way. If you've never listened to them before, it's also a great way to just test out those guys at all. Maybe you don't like their sense of humor, and so you never want to listen to them again. Or maybe you love them, and this is a great way to discover that. So if you're not able to do anything else for May the 4th, this is at least something you can do that's Star Wars-related that would be new, that you haven't already gotten to do in the past. So this might be kind of fun. What else? Bloodline.
Yes.
Yeah.
Just came out today, right?
Yeah. Have you finished it yet?
No, I started it.
I was reading a review from someone who finished it in 3 hours.
Wow. And they finished it in 3 hours?
3 hours.
Oh, my goodness.
But I'm thinking to myself, I have the ability to read quickly, but I save that for nonfiction stuff or for school related stuff. If I'm going to sit and read a book that I'm enjoying, I want to stretch it out.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand people who speed read novels.
I mean, if you can speed read it and retain it, more power to you. I know I personally can't.
So. I know people who can. But even then, it's like I'd rather enjoy the experience. I guess that's one of the reasons I prefer audiobooks, is not only is it like it's being presented semi-dramatically at least, but it's also it paces it. I know I've got 12 hours of experiencing this book instead of rushing through it in 3 or 4 hours. And then it's like, well, that was awesome, but now it's over. I don't want it to be over that fast. If it's that good.
Mm-hmm. No, definitely.
If it's a crappy book, I want it to be over that fast. But anyway, so let's talk about this really quick. I guess Barnes & Noble's, I was just reading. I haven't had a chance to investigate it yet, but they've got some kind of exclusive.
Mm-hmm.
Do we know what that is? Is it just like a preview chapter of another book or something?
I know one thing they have is a poster.
Oh, the Leia thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's it, but
in fact, Jared in our Slack channel posted pictures.
Is it the Leia and then the Leia with the Vader graffiti over it?
Yeah, yep. This is liar. Yeah,
yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it is.
I like that. Well, such is the life of we who read ebooks and listen to audiobooks. I guess we don't get the cool stuff.
Yeah, well, I said, I got that too. I just closed my eyes and imagined the poster.
Oh, there you go.
Came with the audiobook that way.
So I just got home minutes before starting the podcast here. And on my way home, I finally finished Lost Stars. So I'm happy because now I can start Bloodline.
Oh, cool.
And Lost Stars, I understand some of the people who feel like the romance side of it was maybe a little bit heavy, but I didn't like, I understand where they're coming from. I don't agree with them. But
yeah,
I didn't
think it got in the way of the story. I thought it was treated pretty well.
It was part of the story.
Yeah, wouldn't be my first choice to have a love story or something, but this was done really, really well.
I have to say that my suspicions were correct as I started reading it. This is one of my favorite new canon books.
Oh, it definitely is mine, yeah.
Chris, have you finished it?
No, I have not, unfortunately.
Okay. I highly recommend it. And I tell you what, I'm all the more confident and excited about Bloodline now. We've talked about this a little bit in the past, knowing that Claudia Gray's writing it is a big help. I mean, obviously the content is exactly what we wanted from Aftermath in the first place.
Right.
But then on top of that, we have a new author that at least I have not read any of her stuff prior to this. But now that I have, I mean, prior to Lost Stars, she's new to the Star Wars universe, but she's proven herself to be a really good author and really with a good grasp of writing Star Wars. So I'm really excited. I forgot it was coming out this week, actually. I'm like, oh, shoot, I've got like 2 days left to finish Lost Stars.
Well, I was listening to something else. I put that on hold just to start Bloodline today.
Yeah. There's not a whole lot else in the news. I think we've got a trailer for the Freemaker Adventures, the new Lego Star Wars thing. I haven't had a chance to watch it yet.
I have not seen that either.
I'm a little embarrassed to say. Have you guys, and again, we're not going to spoil anything. Have you guys seen the pictures for the Episode 8 sets?
I've seen one thing.
Okay.
Which I don't want to spoil it, even though it's really not a spoiler, but yeah. It's a ship. And
it's a ship that nobody would ever guess might be in the film.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen the same one. And yeah, it's kind of cool, but, you know, not a big deal.
Yeah, it's
technically
just
it's something that was
sitting around. Yeah. See what I did there? Sitting around, round ship. Anyway,
that wasn't very good.
No, it was not at all.
No.
That's why I get paid the big bucks. Yeah, so a couple of outdoor sets, obviously one of the, one location with the Millennium Falcon. But some other really awesome looking outdoor sets. And again, we won't spoil anything, but I don't feel like any of them are particularly spoilerish. So I think it's safe for people who want to go look at them. There were no characters. It was all just set construction stuff. But really interesting. It doesn't tell you anything really, but
mm-hmm.
Very cool looking. Man, what I wouldn't give for a set visit.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you and everybody else.
Even with none of the actors there, none of the crew, just like a security guard. Him and me walking me through the set, nothing exciting going on, not even like a construction person I can interview about, just to walk through once and leave. It would still be the most awesome experience. These sets look gorgeous. I want a Millennium Falcon. That's what I want.
You do, huh?
Like, I would take that as, it'd be kind of small as a house, but... Like maybe as a vacation cabin or something, you build a Millennium Falcon somewhere and you set it up so there's different rooms and stuff. You know,
that is wonderful.
That would be so freaking awesome.
Well, you can go and stay at the Lars Homestead, right? Isn't that a bed and breakfast now or something like that?
It is, yes.
Yeah, my understanding is that Tunisia has, shall we say, some political unrest?
It also has sand, so.
Yeah, well, there's that, too.
That's part of the experience.
I would take the different and if there's civil unrest, factions shooting like, at me if I didn't have to deal with the sand.
Well, I mean, civil unrest is like, you know, war in the galaxy. I mean, come on, it makes you feel right at home.
Yeah, you know, rebels and all that.
You show up and your aunt and uncle are burned to a crisp and, you know, you're all set.
Now, Lou, there's somebody listening over there whose aunt and uncle actually ended up being burnt to a crisp, and they don't think that joke's very funny.
I know. I'm sorry.
You should be.
I am. I'm ashamed of myself.
Anyway.
I'm going to go sit in the corner.
Well, that's kind of it for the news this week, which I guess is good because we can jump right into discussion stuff. So last week we were talking about the nature of canon. And Chris, you brought up something that I thought was kind of interesting. It's a point that, you know, a lot of people feel like, oh, you can't have too much Star Wars. And then you get on a podcast and you have to open your big mouth and say, man, they need to slow down these books.
Yeah.
So for those who might have missed last week's episode, you want to just recap in a nutshell what your point is there?
Okay. So my point was, I'm trying to remember it, honestly. Basically, I feel as if they are releasing too many, not just novels, but when you add in the books, the comics, the young adult novels, and then the young reader novels, when you add all of that in at once and you have to make everything canon, it becomes really overwhelming. And then you have, you're like, well, and plus not everything is good. Looking at you, Heir to the Jedi. And you have to just take a step back and you're like, wait a minute, we're just turning into the Legends again, where there's just there's a lot of books, a lot of content, except one, it's not always that good. Two, it really doesn't always matter in the large overall arc. Mm-hmm. And three, you're just going to eventually have so much content that new people coming in have no idea where to start.
Now, my counter to that point, or at least one aspect of that point, is that when you're comparing what's going on now to Legends, yes, we do have a lot of content that's coming out, but for the novels specifically, I don't think it's that hard for new people to jump in as of right now compared to Legends, because in Legends, especially back in the 90s, you had a continuation of the storyline. And even back in the 90s, I guess it really wasn't too bad because you had, you know, a trilogy here and there and then a couple of standalone books, but it still kind of moved the storyline forward. You know, at some point you kind of needed to know who the Solo kids were. You kind of needed to know who Mara Jade was, who Talon Card was, etc. And then by the time the New Jedi Order hit, from that point going forward, you are pretty much stuck. And I think that that's a little bit different than it is now, because you couldn't, I mean, 19 books in the new Jedi Order, and then you had a lot of series that were 9 books. You had some series that were 6 books or 3 books. You couldn't really leave a book out. But right now, you could leave out A New Dawn. You could leave out Tarkin. Not saying you should, but you easily could leave it out. In fact, arguably, the only book that you can't really leave out in the sense of it giving you a sense of like you're really missing something, maybe Bloodline. So I understand what you're saying, but there is a significant difference between this and Legends in the sense that Legends was much more linear than this is. Now, the comic books, that's a whole different story. Comics, yeah, obviously, are very linear.
Yeah, the thing that killed it for me, Eric, was, you know, you mentioned when you first started out there, 19 books in a New Jedi Order. You know, those came out at a time when I wasn't having a lot of time to read books, so I kind of put them on the back burner, and all of a sudden I got to the point where I'm like, whoa, there's like 10 books I got to read, and there's more coming out. I'm like, yeah, I'm not going to bother starting it. I just don't have time.
Yeah, your back burner caught fire.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Put on the back burner and turn it up on high, because wow.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. If you start having these series of, you know, I mean, anything more than a trilogy is just so daunting to somebody to try to catch up on.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, 3 books, yeah, okay, that's not too bad. Standalone books, even better, because I can pick and choose what I want to read and not have to have everything. Or I can go back and read something I put, you know, aside later on. And not feel like I missed something, because it's not a continuation. It's not something I have to know about. So I like the way they're doing it now.
Okay.
So, you know, so far. But, you know, what's to say if we get, you know, 5 years down the road, we're going to be so, you know, so many books in that we can't, you know, you can't really start from scratch again at that point.
Right. And that's, I guess, again, my counterpoint. I'm going to play devil's advocate here because I think it's kind of fun to argue. At least that's what my wife seems to think about me. You recently watched John Wick, right, Lou?
Yes. Yes. Okay. Yep.
And you were telling me, you just watched it this past week, and you were telling me the same things that I was feeling myself, that initially you ignored it because it's like, oh, okay, it's yet another Keanu Reeves film. But then when you got around to watching it, you're like, wow, this is actually really, really good.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, but as we were talking about on the recent Flick Fights episode, it kind of flew under the radar for a lot of people. A lot of people didn't know what it was, or when they saw a trailer for it, didn't really understand what it was. And mm-hmm. So...
Yeah, it didn't get a lot of good reviews. It didn't get a lot of publicity.
And so now, as word of mouth is getting around, people are starting to catch up on it. Regarding picking up the... again, we don't really officially have a name for it yet, because it's not really expanded universe, because now all of the universe is the same importance level, but the new canon, for lack of a better term, and I hope we get some kind of agreed upon term soon, but for the new people coming into the new canon, I have a little bit less sympathy for them, because Star Wars has been around for, a couple of years now. People generally know whether or not they may be interested in Star Wars books or not. And everybody kind of gets the idea that right now is a good jumping on point. And there's a point at which down the road, we are going to want more linear stories. We are going to want to take characters. And I mean, people are already talking about wanting a Lost Stars sequel. And I'm one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's going to be a sequel, we hope. Nothing's been announced. But let's take, for example, that there could be a sequel to Lost Stars. Well, we don't want it to end there necessarily. We want the continuation of these characters. We want to know what comes next for them. Because when we connect with characters, we want to continue that. It's the same thing with novels, with books, with comics, whatever. Once you find a fictional character that you connect with, you look forward to more content. So at some point, we're going to want more linear stories, and then we're going to be right back where we were. Not necessarily a 19-book single story. I mean, I think that was a little bit too much. But we are going to want things that progress things further, and then we're going to be back in a point where it's going to be hard for new people to jump in and pick up the books. And then what do we do?
Right, but the one thing I'll argue against that is, you know, Lost Stars is a great example, because it's not like any of those people have any effect on the galaxy that we're seeing in the movies.
Other than tangentially, I mean.
Right. I mean, they're connected, and it's in the same universe. And I think that's what I really liked about Lost Stars, is that we saw what was going on, and it happened in and around events that we loved from the movies.
Yeah.
You know, and you can, that was when this happened. Oh, that's kind of, the side story to what the main story was. And if you pick up with those characters and move on from where they left off in the book, that's going to go in a completely different direction than what we have in, canon with the rest of the stuff that deals with, the Solos and the Skywalkers and going forward. You can make that totally separate. And we'd never have to even think about reading it to understand the rest of the stuff that we get in other novels.
Right.
So it's totally separate. I think that would be great to do as a, another section. And then nobody has to, if you don't feel like you want to read it all, you can just leave those off.
But people also do love the characters from the films. So we are going to want to see more content with those characters. And it's a lot easier to write a novel than it is to make a film. So I understand what you're saying about, let's say, Thane and Sienna from Lost Stars.
Mm-hmm.
They're completely separate from the films. You can do whatever you want with them. They're basically a blank slate. But at some point, that overlap with the films is going to become much more overlappy.
I guess all I'm saying is that if like Chris said, he wanted to limit it to, say, 2 books a year or 3 books a year.
Heresy.
That's a whole different topic. But if you put out 2, Lost Stars sequel books, that could be something you could pick up or not pick up and not affect the 2 or 3 books that Chris wants for the main Star Wars line. They'd still be Star Wars books, but they wouldn't really be connected. So I'd almost look at those as, a side book. It's something different. It's not something you'd have to read as part of what Chris is thinking about is that connected stuff going forward, so you don't have to feel like you're keeping up with, you know, 19 books.
Yeah.
I mean, I just think that Chris is just, you know, done with Star Wars now. I think he's just burned out.
Sounds that way.
He doesn't want to see much. You know, he's
too many books. I'm done.
Well, you have to also remember, too, that I came into the Star Wars universe and the Star Wars fandom right around the time that there was the prequel trilogy coming out. And just imagine me being, I don't know, not even probably around 10 years old or something. And going to a bookstore, and I'm like, oh, I saw Star Wars. I want to read a Star Wars book. And then going to the Star Wars section, and I don't know where to start.
Right. Yeah, no, that was definitely a very big problem. And something else to keep in mind, I know some of the thoughts that might be running through some listeners' heads right now. At that period in time, yes, the internet was around. It was a very different world online then than it is now. Wikipedia, mm-hmm. not really a thing. Wikipedia, not really a thing.
Yep.
It was a little harder for people to find, to easily find reading lists and to keep track mm-hmm. of, you know, mm-hmm. what happened chronologically versus in publication order and et cetera. Nowadays, I mean, you can pull out a smartphone, another thing that didn't exist back then, and in a few seconds have a complete list literally right there in your hand.
Yeah.
But when you were coming up into this, Chris, none of that existed. It was a lot harder to figure that sort of thing out.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I don't envy you that at all. I mean, you came up really at a rough time of getting into the expanded universe.
Mm-hmm. I actually remember going to the bookstore with my friend, and I don't remember where the New Jedi Order was in terms of its release. But what was the first one in that trilogy?
Vector Prime.
Okay. I think I asked him what book I should read, and he said, here, you should read this one. And it was The Unifying Force.
Oh, sure.
And I said, okay. And I started reading it and had no idea what was going on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow, that was such a horrible recommendation. In the history of bad recommendations, that ranks right up there. Wow.
So you can imagine why I come into this with a little bit of hesitation.
Disdain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. That's really frustrating.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, right now we are all at a time period where we don't have to worry about that, and so that's a benefit. But mm-hmm. I think that we are going to hit a point where we are going to be in the midst of more trilogies that follow other trilogies that follow others. And we will have kind of an ongoing story arc that will kind of, I think I'm predicting it will kind of feel like there's that main story arc and then there's all the tangential stuff. And whether that main story arc follows the films, I mean, it's obviously going to all follow the same structure and everything, but I mean whether it's tied directly to films or whether it parallels the films, I don't know, but I think we are going to get that, some kind of a primary ongoing forward moving story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's gonna be something to continue the stories from the movies, but I also think that the movies are going to be the primary way of moving this along.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure Disney's going to keep it so that we don't have to read the books to understand what's going on in the movies.
Oh, I agree with you completely.
You know, they don't want to have that happening, so.
Yeah, as much as they talk about how we've got this unified chronology and unified canon, the reality is the movies are always, from a business point of view, they're always going to be the most important
mm-hmm.
form of media. That's always going to be the case.
Yeah, you're never going to get to the movie and, you know, in 2020 and start watching it and go, wait, who is this guy? And what happened to the other one? And I didn't read the book. Oh, I don't think we're ever going to get to that point.
And I think there will always be an assumption that if you're reading the books, you have seen all the films.
Yeah.
But, you know, part of that, too, is the nature of the media. It takes 2 hours to watch a film. as opposed to 12 hours per book.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. The movies are a bit more ubiquitous than I think the books and the comics and things like that. So
yeah, they're more accessible.
Yeah,
definitely.
Let's see. What else did we get into last week? We talked a little bit about the community and the outlook of the community toward fans. And I think it's kind of interesting right now, especially because it seems like fans are more prone to skip things that either they're not interested in. For example, if you're not interested at all in Rebels, you may skip A New Dawn, or things for which the overall consensus has been negative, such as I skipped Heir to the Jedi. But then you still have the purists who kind of feel like you're not really a fan if you're skipping anything. Especially mm-hmm. right now, because there are so few canonical pieces of content on the market compared to years ago, that if you can't even keep up with what's out right now, if your interest level is that low, are you truly, really a diehard Star Wars fan? And so there seems to be a dichotomy building already. You know, it's weird to me, too, because Star Wars fandom, my personal experiences have between different, you know, whether it be with the Forcecast or the Force.net, whether it be with Celebration and people I've met there, whether it be through Twitter and people on the internet, generally speaking, people are really supportive of each other. There's a strong sense of community, and there's this overall shared passion. And the people I've interacted with directly really don't care if you get into everything or just certain things, or if you're more into cosplay and not in the comics, or if you're into everything literature but nothing outside of that. It's been a very accepting culture. But on the flip side, there always seems to be one thing causing some kind of rift in the community. You had the special editions. Then you had the prequels. Then you had The Force Awakens, with people saying, oh, it's just a carbon copy of Episode 4. Oh, and before that, let's not forget the expanded universe becoming Legends, and people upset about that. And now, to a much lesser extent, but you still see it online, there's this snobbishness or elitism about, well, you know, there's this stuff out here and you're just going to ignore it? How are you really a Star Wars fan? I'm more of a Star Wars fan than you, because I've read all the books and I can tell you everything that's going on in the canon right now, and you don't even know. You're sitting there, you've seen the movie, and you're acting like all of a sudden you're some big Star Wars fan, and, you know, you can't rattle off half of the trivia that I can. Like, there's this arrogance.
Mm.
And I don't get it.
I don't either. It's really just, you know, we're all fans of it. No matter what level of effort you put into it, we're all fans of Star Wars. You know, nobody should be belittled or made fun of for only knowing part of the story. You know, as long as you're enjoying what you're getting and you're happy doing that, that's all I need to know.
Yeah. You know, we got an email from one of our listeners a while back. I was going to read it on the air, but I don't know. It's strange because, again, I haven't felt like I've experienced a lot of this. And maybe it's just I'm more selective with what I read online. And Lou, I kind of get the same impression from you. Chris, I don't know where you fit in. I know you're more active in social media than probably Lou and I combined.
Unfortunately, I can probably relate to what was said in the email.
Okay. Well, then let me read the email, and then I want to hear your take on this, because while I can't speak personally to it, I'm really upset that my co-fans, my peers, have to go through this and have to feel this way. And that's really disappointing. This person, again, I'm not going to say who they are. There's a little bit of an introduction in the email. And then he says, This is something I've voiced some concerns about in the past, and it seems to be getting worse. Star Wars fans are wonderful, and they suck. Really bad. There are a few categories. Number one, the elitists. These are the mega fans who have their opinions of Star Wars, how it should be, and what they believe in. If you don't believe in what they do, you are wrong, and they make you feel like dirt for it. Because of how they position their arguments, anyone who challenges them is sexist or racist or classist, etc. I could throw out some names, but I'm not going to bother. I'm pretty sure you could rattle off a few yourselves. Number two, the bringbackers. We first saw these with the bring back Clone Wars movement, and now with the Bring Back Legends people. Look, I'm pretty bummed about Clone Wars and the old EU too, but life moves on. Get over it and stop being childish. Those things are still there for people to enjoy, along with the new things that have filled those voids. These people organize anti-TFA activities with the goal of ruining it for others. They put up billboards. And then in parentheses, really? This is what you spend your money on? And they unnecessarily harass people, including other Star Wars podcasters. Granted, some of the people they have harassed, I feel, fit in the elitist category, but that kind of bullying still shouldn't happen. It doesn't matter who it is. Number three, miscellaneous haters, criers, and drama queens. These are the people who don't fit in the previous two categories, but who still seem to chronically whine about things, but nothing in particular for any duration. Look at the drama surrounding the Force cast, for example. It feels lately like the fandom is imploding. I don't really know what it is. Resistance to change? Power grabs? Jealousy and one-upsmanship? It all just seems silly and childish to me. It's truly gone the route of politics. I'm starting to realize that I like Star Wars more when I wasn't so connected to this greater fandom. Granted, I've gotten to meet and or interact with some really fantastic people like you guys. Some of the things I've dedicated time to, like podcasts, have just been so great and informative, and I look forward to listening to every single one. I've also enjoyed being, quote, in the mix of news and speculation about things. I suppose most of the negative feelings stem from social media. For the last year or so, I found myself unfollowing and muting a number of people because of these things. It's something I need to do more of, too. I really have a need to step back so I can enjoy Star Wars again, because honestly, certain groups of fans have started to make me not enjoy it. Now, there are a couple of specific things in here that I've got comments on, but Chris, like I said, I know that you have you were previously the social media director for the Forcecast Network. You kind of handle a lot of our social media here on the Random Chatter Network. You're of a generation who seems to be naturally more plugged in than mine anyway, and Lou's. What's your take on what this person's saying here?
Honestly, I agree with pretty much everything that is in this. I want to start off by saying that I grew up in a time where, obviously, you know, the internet was just in its time where people were going on there and interacting with each other, of really all ages, not just like a specific group of people. And I remember at the time, the only way that I could talk Star Wars with people that I didn't know in real life was on things like the StarWars.com message boards, the Force.net message boards, and that's pretty much it. And, you know, for the most part, that was something that was not at all mainstream. Mm-hmm. You know, you didn't see news articles referencing any of these people. It was a very secluded environment, and for the most part, I don't ever recall any huge fights. I mean, I'm sure there was some once you got in depth, but it was never anything out in the public. Nowadays, though, where you have social media that is just taking over pretty much everyone's social life, and it's the primary way of communicating with people, and I'm not saying that's a bad thing because I do it, but I feel like that is one huge issue when it comes to just this divide and this. We're putting fans into certain groups, and we really shouldn't have to do that, honestly.
Right.
And to be more specific on these categories, first you have the, as this person said, the elitists. And I've unfortunately encountered this a number of times. People who say that, you know, it can be something as simple as, well, Han shot first. I mean, there are people who will get into legitimate arguments with you about something that a character may or may not have done, depending on what version of the movie you watch or what you believe about a character. But then there are things like, I don't know, the political motivation of a certain character in a book that only exists in a book that was written by a single person. And I just don't see how you can call someone these negative names and, you know, expect to sound like you're, you know, sounding smart, or I just don't see how that's at all logical.
Yeah.
Then you have the bring backers. This is not something that, you know, I had to deal with really growing up. So it's kind of a new phenomenon to me, but
yeah,
I don't know why people are bothering saying things like bring back Clone Wars or bring back Legends. Like, yes, I understand perfectly that you like these things, but just because you like them doesn't mean that, one, I have to like them, or mm-hmm. two, that I want them as much as you do, or really that the whole mainstream audience wants them as much as you do.
I want to come back to this one in a second, because I have some counterpoints on this one.
Okay. Well, in that case, I'll just go on to the third one. The miscellaneous haters, criers, and drama queens. This is probably the most the most noticeable group of people mm-hmm. on, especially, again, social media. And the sad thing is that it is from people who are well respected in the Star Wars community and well known, be it, you know, people who are involved with the production, not necessarily actors or actresses, but, you know, like the crew, or unfortunately even people that have or used to work for Lucasfilm, or people who are very close with Lucasfilm, act this way. Not everyone, obviously, but there are some. There are people who, for better or worse, represent the Star Wars media. There are a lot of people like us who have, you know, relatively well-known podcasts or blogs or websites, what have you, that just go online, and if you don't like what they say and you let them know that, they will mute you on Twitter, they will block you, they will, in some cases, you know, spread bad things about you.
People like us. So you're saying I'm a drama queen, really?
Oh, yeah, Eric, you're a total drama queen.
See, I don't think that's the case. My wife would say I'm a crier, but in a whiny context, not in a tears context. But drama queen, I always kind of figured that one was Lou. I don't know.
No, I didn't get dragged into this.
Well, Chris said, you know, people like us and the podcasting and all that. So, you know,
I think also lumped into that same category is people that like to stir the pot.
Yeah. See, that's kind of how I was looking at this, more basically just the internet trolls who unfortunately are very vocal. But I guess I never really thought about the larger voices of the Star Wars community on the internet. I, you know, there are a couple here and there that I'm kind of like, you know, you could be a little less blustery about things, but I don't know. I guess I haven't really seen let me rephrase that. In my opinion, the vast majority of the podcasters, the vast majority of the well-known bloggers, and the people who have made a name for themselves within the Star Wars fan media community, I don't really have a problem with. There are a couple, but I mean, for the most part, I think most of them kind of have their heads screwed on straight.
You know,
But again, I don't keep up with that side of things as much as you do too. So maybe I'm just seeing a lot of superficial things and not really seeing what's going on under the surface.
I will say that a lot of the people that represent Star Wars, at least on a social interaction level,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of them are anywhere from early 20s to, you know, their 30s and even some cases 40s. But sometimes I feel like a lot of these people represent one side of the fandom,
yeah.
and there's not really equal representation.
Okay.
Like you have people that want to argue for diversity in Star Wars, which mm-hmm. I'm one of those people. I would love to see not just, you know, real world diversity, but even like just like alien diversity, because mm-hmm. you know, it's fiction. That's what it should be. But then there may be someone out there who might, you know, disagree with me, and they might have fair points, and I would be perfectly willing to listen to these points and talk to them, and, you know, might even, you know, put something in my head that I didn't think about before.
Well,
that
sure.
completely changes my mind on things.
Civil discourse is always a good thing.
Mm-hmm. But then you have these people who won't listen to what you have to say.
Right.
And it's very disheartening, honestly. And it's even not even something as serious as diversity. I mean, I remember, I won't say who this is, but it's somebody that I listen to on a regular basis and I do respect. We got into an argument about prequel planet representation. I was the type of person who grew up on the prequels, and I got burnt out on it. I got tired of seeing Kamino and mm-hmm. Geonosis and the same Jedi and Anakin and all these people. I got tired of that. That's why I'm not a fan of the Clone Wars. And this person wanted to see, they were out, not in my demographic. They were in a different generation.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted to see, you know, more prequel content, which is fine.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't say, well, I want more prequel content because, you know, what I say goes, and you're not allowed to have your opinion.
Well, and yes, that's true.
It got into a heated argument, and it really didn't need to be.
Yeah. You
just have to see things from everyone's side. And right now, I feel like the Star Wars fandom, at least, and those who are able to get their voices heard, are on one side, and really that's it.
You know, it seems like there are two, again, aside from A, the elitists, and B, the bringbackers, in this context, I seem to see two types of battles going on. One are the people who, they have a corner of the Star Wars fandom that's really important to them. And that's the thing that they're really into. It might be collecting. It might be, I don't know, it might be the comics. It might be cosplay. And they get really, really into it. And for them, that is what Star Wars is. Other people might only be into the content and not at all into the extracurricular stuff like the cosplay and the collecting and the events and things like that. And so it seems like there are a lot of people out there that whatever little corner of the Star Wars community they have placed themselves in their mind, that's all that matters. Everything else is lesser because it's of lesser importance to them, and therefore it's of lesser value to the community overall. And I think that is a perception where people really need to, I don't know, they really need to sit back and get a fresh perspective on things. They need to reassess where their values lie. Not in the sense that I sincerely don't believe that you have to partake in everything that is Star Wars to be a, and I hate to use this term, but it's one that's commonly used, so I will, to be a diehard fan.
Mm-hmm.
You can just like only the movies and still be a diehard fan because you are passionate about just the films. And that's fine. That's what you're a fan of. That's your passion. And I would never try to take that from you or diminish that. But there are people out there who fit their passion into a certain mold. And they define Star Wars passion as that instead of their own personal passion. And that's sad to me because I don't like it when people diminish what other people are passionate about because it differs from what they're passionate about. If somebody is passionate about something that is inherently wrong, like torturing puppies, then yeah, that's a problem. Otherwise, who are you to tell someone else that what they're passionate about is any less meaningful than your own passions? That's just, so that's one group of people I see out there. And the other battle I see going on really seems to be reflective of what's going on in, at least here in the United States especially, but in other places as well, what's going on in the real world social culture. I could be wrong, but it seems to me as time has gone by, as I've been growing up, the political rift in the United States at least has been becoming deeper and deeper. And I've seen people who have been friends end up no longer being friends because of just a single argument that comes up one day. And they are on opposite sides of a point. And rather than discussing the point, it's like their objective is to yell louder than the other person so that the only thing that can be heard is their own voice.
Mm-hmm.
And I see a lot of that in Star Wars as far as that method of what they claim is debate, and it's not debate. But then in addition to that, the topic seemed to be reflective of conservative values versus liberal values, or, you know, for lack of a better way to put it. And because the Star Wars community and fandom is so diverse anyway, you have people who are very far to the right, and you have people who are very far to the left, and you have a bunch of people who are right smack dab in the middle. But now with the internet and social media and all that, it seems like it's so much easier for those two sides to attack each other. And it seems like the more Star Wars starts to represent the world around us, the more this comes into play.
I agree.
Now, maybe with the original trilogy, it wasn't just so much that it was presented in very black and white. You have pure good versus pure evil. And that's not really a reflection of our day-to-day lives. And so there's less to maybe debate about and relate to politically or sociologically. But then the prequels came about, and it's more shades of gray. We've talked about that before. And then now we have, with this new expanded universe or the new canon, we're starting to see, and without being necessarily preachy about it, but we're starting to see more diversity in sex as far as male versus female. We're starting to see more racial diversity in The Force Awakens. Two of the three primary characters, one's African-American, one's Latino. We're starting to see LGBT characters appear in some of the novels. And we're starting to see representations of different things that we have in our lives that have traditionally been ignored or underrepresented. So as we see this, now this gets talked about more. And as these topics get talked about, they get talked about with a great amount of enthusiasm on each side. And so now this is, it's like we're bringing real world politics into the world of Star Wars. And there's a part of me that feels like, you know, we do need to talk about these things, but then there's a part of me that makes it, like, I feel really sad because there's not a lot of talking going on. Instead, there's a lot of shouting from both sides and nobody's able to hear each other.
Mm-hmm.
So I see a lot of that in the Star Wars community too, it seems like. And that, I think, of the stuff that I've seen online that's really bothered me, you know, this email, it mentions, the direct quote is, look at the drama surrounding the Force cast, for example. There was some drama about what happened with the Force cast, but once you got past the initial superficial aspects of it, a lot of it, the stuff that bothered me more were the accusations about Paul, Megan, and Saf being removed from the show, alleging that it was because of their views on different socio-political issues. Mm-hmm. And whether that was accurate or not, then all of the fighting around the Force cast thing seemed to be about these socio-political issues. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't really drama about the Force cast. There was that, and it started as that, and then all of a sudden it blew up into this other thing. And again, it was just yelling on both sides. And that's the part that kind of bothered me. And it's not the only time that I've seen this. It was more like that was a trigger or a spark to ignite that other fire. The situation with the Force cast got resolved pretty quickly. Paul, Saf, and Megan now have a great new podcast. We moved on to the Random Chatter Network. The Force cast itself no longer exists. Like, I mean, within the course of a week or two, we all kind of went to wherever we're going to go, and we found new homes, and everything is good, at least for us, and we're moving forward. But we're still seeing, I mean, this was like the talk of the town for quite a while.
Mm-hmm.
And it seemed to be more about these other issues. So that's, I don't know. These issues need to be talked about, but there's a little bit of talking going on, and there's a lot of shouting and flailing.
Well, you know, I think some of this is also indicative of just society in general. I mean, kids today put up with stuff that, you know, Eric, you and I never had to put up with growing up, as far as bullying and, you know, stuff online that is not face to face. You know, if someone's going to bully us when we were kids, it was right in your face. And nowadays it can be anonymous on the internet, and it's kind of the same thing in any group, whether it's Star Wars or something else you're into. People can have a loud voice online and not really feel like they're in somebody's face because they're behind a computer screen.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, they can say a lot of things without having to really worry about being face to face with somebody.
There's no consequence.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, and I think it's such a shame, especially what kids deal with these days in school and how quickly rumors spread and how quickly things are online, that, you know, if something bad happened to somebody at one point, it may get around, but, you know, there was no video proof of it. There was no pictures. And now it's just everything's out there. And at the same thing kind of happens with Star Wars fans. If somebody has a loud enough voice online, they're going to make everybody else feel poor about their own decisions or about what their thoughts are.
Yeah.
And they just keep saying it over and over and over again until you just, you know, feel like, you know, I don't need to put up with this. I'm going to go somewhere else and not deal with it anymore. And well, I think it's sad that fans feel that way.
Oh, yeah.
That they have to, you know, back off from the fandom because of a few people that are trying to get their way.
And to be fair, it's not just Star Wars. We've seen this in the video game arena as well. I mean, look at the Gamergate thing. Look at the situation with one of the Nintendo employees who lost her job in a way that seems to be related to the effect of the cyberbullying that she was victim to. I think you really hit it pretty strong there. A lot of it is that it's a different world. It's a world where, I mean, online you can present yourself in such a way that you get to choose what aspects of yourself people see. And this is something that I found really prevalent in playing MMOs, you know, World of Warcraft, Dark Age of Camelot, etc. There was a time period for several years where that was the online arena to go to. I think before social media was really as prevalent as it is now. And it was interesting because people could present themselves in a way that they were a completely different person than they really were in real life.
Right.
They would be friendly online and they'd be a jerk in real life, or vice versa. They would be chivalrous online and they'd be completely selfish offline, or, you know, whatever. And you only got to see just that little bit of that person that they chose to present to you. And I think that, yeah, the anonymity of being online is a big problem with bullying.
Yeah.
Now, when you're in the Star Wars community and you are starting to deal with, Chris, what you said earlier, you know, more prominent personalities, now there's a little bit of a difference, too. If we say something, we're not anonymous.
Mm-hmm.
If Jimmy and Jason from Rebel Force Radio say something, they're not anonymous. If Bonnie Burton says something, she's not anonymous. Amy Ratcliffe, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, there are people out there who their names are known.
Mm-hmm.
And so that puts a different spin on things. And then some of these names, because they're well known, become targets too. So
yeah, exactly.
And that's sad. I don't know. Looking at a couple of these other things, you know, the bring backers, I said I wanted to come back to that. I understand of any of these groups, they're the ones I understand the most, I think, because they're experiencing a sense of loss of something that was really important to them. And this was their corner of Star Wars that was taken away. For example, me personally, I never got into cosplay. It's something I'd like to maybe get into at some point. I did get into collecting a little bit. I got out of it because I couldn't afford to keep up with it. But the expanded universe, especially the novels, that was my arena. That was my corner of the Star Wars playground. And they took it away. And now I had to step back and look at it objectively. I understand why they took it away. And objectively, I think it was a wise decision. And I acknowledge the fact that it, as we have come to know it, is not coming back. Yes, they might pull some characters in from time to time, and the more they're able to do, the better. I think that they should bring in as much as they're able to bring in, and not a bit more. I think if they try to bring in
a controlled environment so that they know what they're bringing in, they're picking and choosing what works with them going forward.
Right. And they should only bring in what will work. But again, that's looking at it objectively in a business model that it works for the company, but then also in a fandom model that will work with what we are now going to have content wise. So, but there is a hole in my Star Wars soul, if you will. There's a spot,
right?
There's a spot missing. I'm not going to have more stories with Grand Admiral Thrawn, partially because Timothy Zahn killed him way too soon. Talon Card, Corran Horn, Mara Jade, Winter, the various X-Wing pilots. I mean, there's a whole slew of characters that I'm probably never going to see again in new content. Now, yes, I can go back and reread the stories again, and that's a good thing. I am going to do that eventually. I've reread them enough times that right now, and there's new content coming out, I don't feel I'm not itching to do that. But someday I will. I still have all the books. But I understand where these bringbackers are coming from, and I sympathize with them. The people I don't sympathize with are the people who went out of their way to form groups to coordinate ruining the movie for other people. Who the heck do you think you are?
Right.
To go and ruin something for somebody else because you don't get your way. That is the epitome of a childish little temper tantrum. Even my 7-year-old son knows not to do that. Even he knows that that's inappropriate.
Mm-hmm.
And yet you are going to get online and organize a group to do this exact sort of thing. I mean, come on. Grow up.
Well,
yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I mean, people like you, Eric, are a huge breath of fresh air when it comes to, in this case, the bring back legends.
I don't know. Only when I shower.
Community.
Because there are some times you would not want to breathe anywhere near me. So,
but it's unfortunate that there aren't more people that, even if they share your exact same belief, that they don't do it in the same way that you do. I've seen people just go crazy at you know, the fact that there are no more Legends books, or that they're not continuing both Legends and the new canon.
Yeah.
I have a friend who, when The Force Awakens, or not The Force Awakens, when Episode 7 was first announced, we had a very lengthy discussion about how they would treat it. And I was like, look, I've never really read most of the EU, except for a handful of books. How do you think they can do it? And he's like, well, I don't even know if they can, but they're going to have to do this, 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 and started naming a lot of stuff. And I'm like, they won't ever do that.
Right.
Well, fast forward to now, and he is still in the camp of, he saw The Force Awakens, and he's still in the camp of Legends was better.
Yeah.
And he saw the trailer for Rogue One and was like, Legends is better, even though, you know, we didn't have a story for that really, or a concise story. Like we're getting now, he still has that belief. And I'm like, okay, I disagree, but, you know, let me hear your thoughts.
Yeah.
And
he has a right to feel that way.
Yeah, exactly. And he brings things up too that I would have never thought of. And he's probably one of the most knowledgeable Star Wars fans that I've ever met in my entire life. And, you know, he helped, like, when I saw The Force Awakens after talking to him, I saw it with a different mind.
Mm-hmm.
And he's one of the type that says that they're kind of copying things, for better or worse, from the EU and bringing it into canon and not really changing anything. So why even bother taking away to begin with? And, you know, he kind of makes some good points. So,
okay.
It's just, but, you know, he's not the type of person that will go spoil the movie for you.
Right.
He, even though he might not like the story direction, he's not going to boycott it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's how it should be. You shouldn't have to worry about, well, I can't get on Twitter today or for the rest of the week because I might see spoilers or someone might tweet spoilers to me. I mean,
right.
I had to do that leading up from the time The Force Awakens premiered to the press.
Right.
Up until it came out, which I think was like 2 or 3 days. I had to stay off Twitter because I didn't want anything spoiled. I mean, it's just sad.
Yeah. Yeah. It is. This guy, this person you're talking about, I have complete and utter respect for how he's approaching things. He has an opinion. And he has defined what Star Wars means to him and what's important to him about Star Wars. And he's sticking with it. And I fully support that. And he wants something to have happened. And Lucasfilm decided not to do that. And that's okay. He didn't react by, again, throwing a temper tantrum and trying to spoil things or ruin things for everybody else. And so I have a lot of respect for that guy. That's awesome. And I completely encourage people to listen. I don't want everybody out there to agree with me. I don't want that. That would be boring. My ideas are nonsense. I have proof. I have a marriage certificate documenting it. It's, you know, people need to form their own ideas. That's what's so great about Star Wars is it means so many different things to so many different people. And one of the most exciting things for me personally about being a Star Wars fan is hearing other people talk about it and explain their perspectives on things that I haven't come up with before. To me, that's what's cool about the exploration of Star Wars. I can come up with my own ways to explore it on an individual basis, and that's great, but I'm not out on a desert island somewhere with a battery-operated DVD player and a little video monitor. I'm in a world of other people who also watch this and take away different things from it. And that's what I find so fascinating is how many different things and the scope of these things that are taken away. That's, to me, that's what's so awesome about being part of a Star Wars community. Real quick, from the chat room, question, guys, do you think that these issues are mostly US-based or do you see it happening in other countries/societies? That's a little bit hard to answer in the sense that I only view Twitter during hours that our hemisphere is awake. So I imagine that while a lot of Europe is Twittering, I'm probably missing a lot of it. And then I only speak English, which is a fault of mine. I would love to change that someday. I'm trying to learn Spanish, and if I can learn more than just that, that would be great too. But that's just, you know, so I think that the U.S. and Canada is where I'm basing most of my experience from. I've heard from people in other countries that have similar situations. I've heard from a few people in the U.K. who have experienced that sort of thing. Saf in New Zealand, well, obviously Saf has experienced some of this because some of it came up and was directed at her during the situation with the Forcecast. So I think that for the most part, it's not localized just to the U.S. I think that perhaps some of the more extreme things are happening in the U.S. It seems like the U.S. generally has less. It seems like the U.S. appears to me to have a larger percentage of its population who are far more conservative, and the way in which they're conservative is that they are far more intolerant of the liberal side of their society than what I'm seeing and hearing about in other countries. Not that other countries don't have people who are more conservative and perhaps disagree with the more liberal side of things, but the way that they treat each other is very different. So I think that there are some things about the manner of the interaction that is perhaps exacerbated here in the United States or amplified. It seems to me like some of the discourse in other countries is a little more civil, which, you know, there are ways in which I'm very proud to be an American, someone from the United States. I've served my country in the military, et cetera. And then there are other ways in which I'm a little embarrassed. And that's one of the ways in which I'm a little embarrassed. I think that we as a country, as a society, are not as civil to one another as we should be, and to other countries as well. So, I kind of lost track of where we're at now. We've been all over the place in this episode. Something else that brought up in the chat room. Okay, so where is the celebration of Star Wars? Celebration in quotation marks and is capitalized. That should be the point. I agree. Yeah, that's from Joel in the chat room. I think that's what this all comes back to. The community for a long time has been a very celebratory community, and it's been a community in which people who do have differing opinions about everything, about social issues, about politics, about whatever, people from high classes or low classes or, you know, different economic levels or different backgrounds, whatever, can come together and share something. And I think that really that's, when you think about it, that's kind of the pinnacle of humanity. When we all realize that no matter what our differences are, there are still levels at which we are all the same. We're all humans. If you cut us, we all bleed. And I think Star Wars is kind of, in a lot of ways, a great equalizer, and has been for a long time. And that is one of the powerful things about the Star Wars fan community. And one of the things that's worth celebrating just in and of itself, not even just celebrating the Star Wars content or the Star Wars, hobby, but celebrating one another as Star Wars fans. To me, that's one of the coolest things. You know, we went to Celebration and we're meeting people I would never get to meet otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an incredible experience. And we immediately have something that is important to both of us, and we would never have come together otherwise. And it's like I said, it's the great equalizer in a lot of ways. And now we're starting to see real world differences creep into our community and start to become more vocal within our community. So I guess just as a final call out here at the end of the episode, I would like to encourage everybody out there to, you know, you don't have to condone what other people do. You don't have to condone what other people think. You don't have to agree with what other people think. But for the sake of the community and for the sake of the unity of what we're all passionate about, be respectful of one another. You don't necessarily have to accept everything the other person does, but accept that that's what they're doing, that they have the right to do that, and that to them, their point of view is just as valid as your own point of view is to you. That is the acceptance that we all need to have. I know a lot of people out there can't accept some of the differences that people have. That's okay, but just accept that you are different and that you still need to interact in the same space,
mm-hmm.
whether it be in the same office building or, in this case, the same fan community, and that regardless of those differences, skip the differences. Focus on what you share together.
Exactly.
Focus on that. Because, listen, there's a lot of crap going on in the world right now. And fiction is an escape. Fiction is a way that you get to. Now, of course, you can use any sort of escapism to a degree that can be harmful. But it can be good to get your mind out of the day-to-day drudgery of whether it just be bills and responsibilities or whether it's terrorism and wars going on or I mean, there's a whole slew of different types of things going on, and fiction and fantasy can be a break from that. It can mm-hmm. be a way for you to recharge. Yeah. So use the community to do that too. And you know, help feed one another and look at what's similar and what you can share as opposed to what you can fight about. There'll always be things you can fight about.
Mm-hmm.
What can you share? What can you come together with? So,
you know, when I went to Celebration last year, and I'll never forget the feeling that I got. I was walking from the Forcecast booth, and I was just walking through the floor somewhere, and I heard the Star Wars theme, and or it wasn't the Star Wars theme, it was the Force theme, and I kind of stopped and I listened. Because the Force theme always just makes me want to cry. but I just sat and I listened, and then I looked around me and I'm like, everyone here we're all from different countries. We speak different languages. We have all these, you know, countless different backgrounds. But the one thing that unites us all is Star Wars. Right. And that is something that, you know, should never go away. And you know, I feel like we're at a point now to where I wouldn't say there's a crack in the fandom, but there's potential for that. And right. I would say that everyone, be it if you agree with that or not, should just take a step back and, you know, reevaluate things and remember why we are all here together, and it's for Star Wars.
Right. Well, you know, for people who can relate to the individual who sent this email in, just keep in mind, you know, Twitter does have a mute feature.
Mm-hmm.
In Facebook, you can unfriend people. You can unfollow people. Just mm-hmm. because there are all these voices out there, if there are voices you don't want to listen to, then mm-hmm. tune them out. I mean, that's the nice thing about the technology. It does give you a way to do that. Don't get into all the negative stuff. Don't let it get to you. Participate in the parts that are good. You know, there are a lot of, you know, here at Echo Base and at Random Chatter, we're obviously a podcast community, and we try to keep things positive here. I know a lot of other podcasts do too. You know, seek out those podcasts. Seek out mm-hmm. the people who want to share. Don't seek out the haters, and don't fight them either. You're not going to convince them to change their minds. You're not going to win. What you're going to do is you're going to raise your own blood pressure. You're going to stress yourself out. So just skip it. Just celebrate.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you to Joel for bringing that word up in the chat room, because really that is kind of, it is the point. That is the point of, that is what the fan community needs to get back to. And there are some people in the fan community who've never left that. And so let's go back to having that be the prominent thing, and instead of, you know, the pettiness and the bickering and stuff, just ignore it. Just there are plenty of people who are active on Twitter and Facebook and whatever else out there who do celebrate Star Wars. Seek them out, join them, jump in mm-hmm. with both feet, and, you know, get back to it.
Exactly.
All right.
And always remember too that you can still have respect for somebody without, you know, having to follow them and agree with everything that they say.
Absolutely. It's about how we treat one another.
There are plenty of people in the Star Wars community that I would say, hey, I'm thankful for you, because without you, I might not be where I am today.
Right.
I might not agree with everything they say, but, you know, that doesn't matter.
Yeah. Lou, I know you love it when people get preachy. You want to throw something in here?
No, I'm good, I think. I mean, I understand all the points. I agree with a lot of them. I just, you know, wish people would kind of relax a little bit and treat everybody the way they want to be treated themselves.
Yeah. I mean, this is supposed to be fun. So
exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Putting the fun in Star Wars. I don't think any of those letters are actually in Star Wars.
We're going to put the FU in fun.
Well, you know, that's going to do it for Echo Base this week. I do apologize if we got a little bit preachy on this, but I think it is important. I don't think we need to have this conversation too often.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't really want to have it too much when, you know, the force cast situation happened a little while ago, but yeah, this really does seem to be a thing. So let's just collectively let it not be a thing. Just ignore it. Let's just, you know, and I'm not even saying fight it, as opposed to fighting it. Let's just promote the good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And then the bad stuff, it can go off into its own little section and be whatever it's going to be, and who cares at that point? So anyway, so if you have any comments about this, whether experiences you want to talk about or just any feelings on it at all, let us know. You know, again, let's share things together. We say at the end of each episode, we want people to email us, and you can do that. echobase@randomchatter.com. But, you know, maybe this sort of topic is a good thing to put into Twitter. Mm-hmm. You know, just get out there and share some positive experiences with you in Star Wars. I don't know. I'm not really a good hashtag creator, but, you know, throw some kind of hashtag on it. Let's get the community, you know, positive. And that's one of the great things about the Star Wars community. There's always something positive going on that we can talk about. So, you know, hit us up when you do this, when you get on Twitter and do this stuff, hit us up on Twitter. Echo Base Podcast is the main Twitter account for this show. Random Chatter is the Podcast Network Twitter account. Hit us up individually too. I'm on Twitter at Eric Blythe. It's ERIKBLYTHE. Chris, what about you?
I'm at The Curse of Chris.
And Lou?
Just my name, Lou Secchi, LouSecki.
All right. So you can find us there on Twitter. You can find us on Facebook. It's facebook.com/randomchatternetwork. And you can find all the shows on the Random Chatter Network at randomchatter.com. Tuesdays and Thursday nights, we record live. We start a little bit after 9 p.m. Eastern. You can check us out at randomchatter.com/live. You can participate in the chat room there as well. We would love it if you tell your friends about the show. Put out some reviews there in iTunes or Stitcher or however you listen to it. And, you know, let us know what you think. We are always very grateful, not just excited and interested, but grateful, to the people who write in and let us know what you think of the shows. That's, we read every single one of, well, I read every single one of them. Not literally every single one gets to all the different hosts on the network, but. Everything you send in gets read.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And it's always private, too. So you don't have to worry about
us outing you if you.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And especially, we try to use some discretion, too. I mean, there have been people who have written in very personal things, and we don't discuss that stuff on the air. The few times we do, if it's something kind of personal, we either ask the person if it's okay to talk about it, or we try to keep it anonymous, and we make sure that whatever it is completely anonymous. There's nothing that could possibly identify the person. Yeah, you know, we're people too. We understand how you feel. But, you know, if there is something that you're okay with us saying on the air, you know, if you want to indicate that or indicate you don't want us to, that's fine too. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think it's important for our listeners to remember, and here I am rambling again at the end of the show. We want people to understand we don't see ourselves as Star Wars fan celebrities because we have a podcast. We see ourselves as peers. We just managed to plug in some microphones. We consider ourselves part of you out there. So, you know, let's share and keep the conversations going. Mm-hmm. Anything else before we sign off?
I would just like to say that we got a lot of feedback from our last show,
mm-hmm.
and it was really encouraging to see, you know, all of this interaction from all of our fans and listeners. So keep it going.
Yes. Please do.
It really helps.
Yeah. All right. That's it for this week of Echo Base. Until next week, take care, everybody.
The Force will be with you always.